Welcome to Free Humanity. I'm Dan Asen Gregory, and in this episode, I'm inviting you to join us on the Road to Geneva, our exciting new campaign to resist the latest hijacking of our rights and freedoms by unelected bureaucrats, and this time, it's the World Health Organization. The Road to Geneva campaign will culminate in a pan-European convoy that's going to converge outside the city of Geneva on Friday, the 31st of May, ahead of a mass peaceful rally that's going to be taking place outside the World Health Organization on Saturday, the 1st of June. We're working with a range of coalition partners from across Europe and around the world to make this a powerful and historic campaign with real impact. So tune in to find out how to get involved. Now, what is happening at the World Health Organization to warrant this campaign? Well, as most of you are aware, there's been a lot of buzz around the new pandemic treaty, or the pandemic agreement, as now it is called, and of course the proposed amendments to the 2005 international health regulations, which are due to be finalized at the end of May at the 77th World Health Assembly in Geneva. Despite the far-reaching implications for our national public health governance and our individual freedoms, the contents of these proposed legally binding documents have strangely received almost zero coverage in the mainstream media. What a surprise. They have, however, raised concerns amongst many human rights organizations, as well as from people like you and I, since these changes, particularly the ones proposed to the international health regulations, give the World Health Organization unprecedented powers to override constitutional laws of member states and position itself as the sole directing authority and coordinating body on global health. In these proposed amendments to the IHR regulations, language has been removed, added, or changed that diminishes the autonomy of member states, whilst language around freedom, dignity, and human rights have all mysteriously disappeared. Now, these documents also give a disturbing amount of authority to the Director General of the WHO and the Emergency Committee, which will be comprised of experts that he or she alone gets to select. If these documents are ratified, your health and mine and the health of our loved ones will soon be under the direct influence of unelected, unaccountable agents outside of your country with clear conflicts of interest and a terrible record of trust and transparency. Now, the language in these texts has been altered in a way that will allow the WHO to control any public health response, not just in regard to public health risks, but to, quote, all risks with a potential to impact public health, which, if you think about it, could almost be anything. Now, what if the WHO declared climate change a public health risk, for instance? Could they impose lockdowns and travel restrictions on most of the world and justify these actions in the name of the public health? They've done it once. The documents give the WHO the self-declared right not only to unilaterally proclaim a public health emergency and to maintain it indefinitely, but even potential health emergencies, regardless of whether the member state is in agreement with such an assessment. Now, it's language like this that makes it easy to imagine the WHO acting like some kind of global health police, enforcing a command and control, one-size-fits-all health policy upon its 196 member states. And of course, if any member nation decides, thank you very much, but we prefer to manage our own matters in our own way, then their government will likely get a visit from their dystopian-sounding compliance committee. Yes, that is what it's called. And the member nation could find itself subject to potential trade and travel restrictions with no mechanism to challenge the WHO's authority. Now, supporters of the amendments to the international health regulations stress the benefits, of course, of information sharing, cross-border collaboration, improved alert systems, coordination of public health countermeasures, and so forth. And to some, all of this might sound good. They're very good with words, but when you read through the text, you can't help but be struck by how little of it actually seems to do with health and how much of it is to support the pharmaceutical industry through ever more fast-track supply chains of vaccines that bypass the usual safety and regulatory protocols. In fact, over 30% of the WHO's current annual budget is allocated to vaccine and pharmaceutical-based outcomes. And of course, we all know a significant part the WHO funding comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who are heavily invested in vaccines, alongside Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance. It's almost as though the entire document has been written by lawyers for Big Pharma. Now, let's not forget that well before these latest concerns of a global power grab, the WHO was already under scrutiny for being heavily influenced by giant pharmaceutical corporations, private interests, and the priorities of wealthy nations over and above public health priorities. And it's also become acutely apparent that the WHO actively engages in social media surveillance and censorship, a fact that it proudly announces on its website, where they state that they work with YouTube, Google, Facebook, and NewsGuard to, quote, ensure no medical misinformation proliferates on their platforms. They even congratulate themselves upon the removal of over 800,000 YouTube videos between 2020 and 2021, citing that favored term of the techno-feudalist autocrats, misinformation, including at least five of my own videos. Now, how many of those videos discussed potential early treatments for COVID, prophylactics such as vitamin D, prevention of vaccine injuries, gain of function research, poor quality safety studies, or the critical questions about the efficacy and safety of both the non-pharmaceutical and the pharmaceutical interventions that millions of people were coerced and pressured into complying with during COVID? Now, the proposed changes to the WHO in short look like another example of a global power shift away from localized health governance and individual freedom towards increased global authoritarianism and serving the private interests of corporations. So what can we do about it? Well, here at Free Humanity, as I said at the beginning, have launched our very first campaign, The Road to Geneva, to make our voices heard in saying no to the WHO, along with thousands of people like you from all over the world. We want to invite you and your friends to join the convoy to Geneva from May the 30th to participate in the rally against the WHO outside the WHO on the 1st of June. Now, if you want to join us, head over to roadtogeneva.com. You'll find out about our latest convoy plans and the wider campaign to challenge the WHO. Thank you so much for sharing this important episode, and I hope we'll see you on the road to Geneva.